All right, and for the scripture reading this morning, it's from 1 Corinthians 6, 12 to 20. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say food for the stomach and stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will also raise us. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies.
All right. I'd like to have a word of prayer before I begin this morning. God, the scripture is all about honoring God with our bodies, including preaching a sermon and listening to a sermon. So I just pray that your blessing would be upon the sharing of these words. May they honor you. May they honor your scriptures. And may they somehow strengthen us, guide us, bless us for using our bodies for your good purposes in this world. Amen. So these bodies of ours are important. We want to talk about the physical body. This scripture was a lectionary text, probably picked because we're in the season of Epiphany, thinking about the fact that God came to us in the flesh. But just a little quiz before we get into it. Anybody know how many bones are in the human body? 206, yes. Okay. How many brain cells do we have? That's true. It's 86 billion, you know, give or take 100 million. How about our life expectancy? The life expectancy of a person in this country in 2024? A little bit higher than 75. Getting closer, warmer. 78 was the last one. 79. Yes, 79 years. So, just some thoughts about our bodies. These bodies of ours are the vessels out of which we live our lives, obviously. With our bodies, we laugh with our friends. We show up at somebody's bedside. We put our arm around somebody who's grieving. We walk, run, climb, bike with our bodies. We kneel in prayer. We clean up somebody's backyard. We clean up somebody's soiled bed sheets. We go to work. We do business. We also use our bodies to possibly ridicule or laugh at someone else, to seek after the riches of this world, to ignore friends, to be unfaithful to our spouse, to injure or murder another, to shoot a stare or to shoot a missile at someone else. So we can use our bodies for all kinds of things. It's a time of year when we think about our bodies in the new year, making those resolutions for our diet or for joining the health club. And spiritually or in the church, we think of it as we're given special focus to the fact that God came to us in human form. He took on a body and came to dwell among us. Last Saturday, our whole family was together and Ellen was in from Portland and she's training for a half marathon. So she has this regimen of how much to run each day. And so Saturday, it was a day it was snowing here last week, and she had to run 6 miles. So we told her about, you know, on the other side of Brownstown, there's two parks. Each has a circle, a walking path circle, divided by the bridge in the Conestoga River. So you could run a figure eight. So she went down there to run, and I went with her, and I stayed on one side, and when she got around to my loop, I'd run half a loop with her, and then I'd just keep walking. She'd, you know, complete her running, come back again, I'd run a half a loop and go. So I enjoyed just being able to be out there in this. I actually enjoyed being in the snow, walking, running, whatever. And also, but there's another aspect of it, of the companionship. You know, part of the reason I was out there is hopefully to give her some moral support or companionship while she's running these 6 miles. So just in that story, it kind of encapsulates what I want to talk about today, in that we use our bodies for all kinds of things, and we want to honor God with our activities, but also thinking about we use our bodies to be in relationship with other people, and that's an important part. Jesus came to bear good fruit, but he also came to be our companion, to show God's love, to walk side by side with us. So this is a summary of what I hear in 1 Corinthians about our bodies. Our bodies are important because they're important to God. God cares for our bodies, is written here. Our bodies are destined for resurrection. Our bodies are vessels that are united with Christ, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Out of these bodies, we honor God, we're devoted to God's purposes, and we connect in relationship to other people. So there's a lot packed into these verses here. In verse 14, it says, God raised the Lord Jesus, and he will also raise us by his power. So these bodies of ours are destined for resurrection. And I think Paul's saying, because that's our destiny, it matters what we do with these bodies of ours. And I think a corollary is that what we do with all of creation matters. We're called to be good stewards, not only of our bodies, but all of creation. And both ourselves and all of creation will one day be transformed and experience resurrection. And so what we do with ourselves, our bodies, and this creation matters. And there's something about our Judeo-Christian faith that where the body's important. You know, in many religions, the soul is good, the body's bad. Doesn't matter what you do with the body, it's all nurturing the soul or the spirit within us. But Scripture has always highlighted the value of our who we are physically, spiritually, relationally, emotionally. And like I said, we also recognize that the body is important because God chose to take on human flesh and to dwell among us. Jesus came to heal bodies, and he came to restore souls as he himself took on this body. And in his body, he showed us how to live, and he showed us how to bear good fruit, and he showed us how to relate to other people in a redeeming and authentic and loving way. So in this particular scripture, Paul implores the people of Corinth to honor the Lord with their bodies. And it seems as if Paul is addressing a number of issues here in writing to the Corinthian church. And it seems like, well, when you get to, I think it's chapter 7, he says, and now I want to address some of the things that you wrote to me about or concern you. So up to verse 7, or up to chapter 7, it seems like he's getting off his chest what he'd like to tell them, what he's been observing or hearing. And the one thing, he seems to be repeating a motto that has become important to this Corinthian church. All things are lawful for me. Just a real sense of freedom. And I'm sure this affected Paul as preacher, or the one who started this church, in that he was the one that was all about freedom in Christ, how we're set free from sin, and how we're this Gentile church is freed from all the burdens of the Jewish traditions and so forth. But it appears that maybe they're taking that a little too far. Maybe it's even that thought of what I do with my body won't affect my soul. But Paul counters that by saying, even though all things might be lawful, not everything is beneficial. You know, even in your sense of freedom and what you feel is okay to do, you have a responsibility to your brothers and sisters in the church. And if your choice of freedom is somehow affecting them, it's not all about you. And so that's the first teaching that he's getting to about how they're living their lives. And he just continues to go on with this teaching about honoring God with their bodies. And the particular example he gives, and again, it's probably something he needed to address in that particular church in Corinth, was whatever your translation says, sexual immorality, fornication. It would have been a church in Corinth where up on the hill there was a temple for the goddess Aphrodite with temple prostitutes and just maybe even a normal part of the religious life even to be part of what went on there. Just, it's hard to wrap my head around the fact that temple prostitution is part of their religious practices, but that's the climate that they were living in. So the point Paul seems to be making is reminding them not to use these bodies of theirs that Jesus has redeemed for sinful purposes, for activities that don't honor God. And so we could substitute all kinds of things in there in this particular passage and thinking about it for our own lives. How can gossip come out of off of these lips, these bodies that have been transformed? Oppressive or dominating actions against another that is for your own self-interest. Practicing greed or deceit. Don't you know, Paul says, that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. They're meant for holy purposes. Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil or a special vessel used for honorable purposes. Your life will be clean and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. An important theme for Paul. Just a thought, an illustration that might help us to think about this is our bodies, our lives are a holy place or a place where holy things happen. Just thinking, we often think about the sanctuary as an especially holy place. And depending on your upbringing or your experiences or how much you've been part of the church, there's just this maybe a more of an emotional response to some things that we might see in the sanctuary. Clearly, during the week, we wouldn't rent this out and show horse races on the wall and have people betting on the races in the midst of this sanctuary. We wouldn't have a white supremacist come and speak from here to a crowd of those who follow. Clearly things that are unholy purposes. There's also things we think about of just that whole teaching of I have freedom to do these things. It's okay. It seems okay to do, but I should consider what others think. Running in church, running in the sanctuary. Some would respond to that. Walking on the furniture, playing the drums. We have certain things that for some of us would feel unholy and shouldn't be done here. Where others say, I have freedom to practice these things. So, it takes that kind of discernment. But just that whole idea that we have special regard for this as a holy place. And to consider that for our own lives as a place where the Spirit of God dwells. I didn't mean that to be an indirect teaching on what you should do or not do in the church. I actually took drum set lessons at my former church to be part of the worship team, but didn't get very far in that. So, also in this particular passage, Paul seems to get at something deeper when he gives this example of of sexual immorality or some of the practices that some of these church members might have been a part of. Not just that it was an unholy practice for a holy body, but something even relational. And I want to reread some of these verses as is written in The Message by Eugene Peterson as a paraphrase. And as I reread these verses, think about how Paul's talking about how relationships are affected, or the relational aspect of this. And it's where he's talking about immorality. There's more to sex than mere skin on skin. It's as much a spiritual mystery as a physical fact. As is written in Scripture, the two become one. Since we want to become spiritually one with the Master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever, the kind of practice that can never, where we can never truly become one. There's a sense in which these sins are different from all others. We violate the sacredness of our own body, these bodies that were made for God-given and God-modeled love, for becoming one with another. I hear in all that our bodies are meant for meaningful, committed, one another, redeeming kind of relationships. And that's part of how we were created. Not to compromise or pollute the relationships that we have. And so in verse 15, Paul says, don't you know that your bodies are members with Christ? And not just to think about that, my own body united with Christ, but we as the body of Christ here, we as the church are united with Christ. And that we are meant to honor and serve him, that this is the place where the Holy Spirit dwells and that we glorify God with our lives. And so I want to take some time to think about who we are as the body of Christ and a place, a body that's meant to glorify God. In 2 weeks, we have covenant signing. It's a practice every year that we do. And I've asked some of you, when you're signing the covenant, what are you doing? What's the significance of that for you when you sign your name to that? And I think everyone, the first thing they said was, I'm committing to my fellow church members here. I'm committing to be faithful to each other or to be in relationship, to seek the Lord together, you know. And so that kind of relational aspect of it. I looked at the covenant that we have and that we sign. And then there's four paragraphs. And the fourth main things that seem to be said are, first of all, the first paragraph, Jesus is the center of our faith. And we say that in various ways. Just like we're the body of Christ and Christ is the head, Jesus is the center of our faith. The second paragraph is all about practicing love towards one another. It talks about building up each other, encouraging one another, comforting one another, offering hospitality, offering kindness to each other, forgiving one another. It's all those kind of one another kind of things. And that we also offer that love and care beyond our church, especially those on the margins. And we're inviting and welcoming of others to come and join us to seek the Lord. And then the third paragraph is more about, again, seeking to be united, but specifically as we try to discern what it looks like to honor God with our body life. What does that mean? And so talks a lot about, we do that through meeting together. We interpret Scripture like Anabaptists do, meaning in community, trusting the Holy Spirit's going to guide us. Talks about incorporating our God-given knowledge into our discernment. And we utilize Scripture. We utilize the confession of faith in a Mennonite perspective as a guide for us. And then also acknowledging that there's theological diversity. We're at different places with some of these things. So it seems like at the core of what that third paragraph is all about is when I sign that covenant, I'm committing to be part of that discerning process. I'm willing to join in as we continue to figure out what it looks like to follow Jesus or to honor the Lord with our body life. So I'm willing to be part of that, to lend my voice to that discernment. And then finally, there's a summary, that again, we honor God because we have healthy relationships with each other. We make our community and world a better place, and we glorify God with our bodies. These are the ways that we glorify God with the body that he's given us. So just some thoughts about that, that it's not only our individual bodies that we say, in this body, I want to honor God with all I say and do, but the corporate body of Christ here. So I again, just in kind of wrapping this up, I want to go back to that statement that seems to come out of 1 Corinthians 6. Our bodies are important because God cares for our bodies. They're destined for resurrection. We are united with Christ in our bodies, and the Holy Spirit resides in the midst. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. And out of this vessel or this body, we honor God. We are devoted to God's purposes, or we bear good fruit, and we connect in redeeming, powerful relationships, meaningful relationships with each other. So I found this this statement by Edward Piller. Thought it was a good summary of everything, of this passage. The relationship between our physical body and God is communicated in three ways. One, it's through creation. Paul reminds us that we've been created by God. God is our creator. He created us out of love. Secondly, we are connected through redemption. As we turn to the Lord Jesus, we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. We remember the great cost and the great love that reconciled us to God, and now we live for him. And then thirdly, therefore glorify God with your bodies. In other words, your body's purpose is to reflect, radiate, and resound with the glory of the loving, kind, merciful, beautiful character of God. So, thought that was a powerful way to draw all that together. So let me just have a closing prayer just to commit us to this kind of living. Lord God, we are grateful that you're the God of life. You're the God who chooses that through us you will bring about your loving purposes, your reconciliation and your redeeming purposes. Thank you that each one of us matters to you, and we just pray that we will take in what is good so that we can express and bear fruit that is good, that we would use these bodies of ours for good and holy and wonderful purposes, that through these bodies we would enjoy life and we would bless others, and we would care for the creation around us. Thank you, Lord, for this good news. In Jesus' name. Amen.